A very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport on Tee Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. I would like, on behalf of the congregation, to welcome all those who are worshiping with us for the first time or doing so after a long while. I'm sure you would have noticed that we have Gary playing the organ for us this morning. A very warm welcome to Gary. In the course of the week, I received this note from the finance convener of the congregation, whom I can also refer to as our archivist, that is Philip. It's about some news in October 1971 from the St. Thomas's Journal. And that news concerned new elders who were elected to the congregation. It's my pleasure to announce that we still have two of those elders with us, that is William Berry and Jeff Martin. It is their 50th year today, exactly the same date. It was 10th of October, 1971. Can we put our hands together for our two brothers? Of course, we know that Jeff has not been able to come through to church for some time, but Marjorie has often come through. If she is around, she would take our claps back to Jeff when she goes back home. Thank you so much for your services in God's own kingdom and for all that you've brought to this church and to our community. We will say prayers for you during the prayers of intercession. Our call to worship this morning: praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Let us worship God. And our first hymn, 132, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with our lives and with our burdens, which we find difficult to carry. We pray, O merciful Father, that you would take these burdens away from us and grant us the peace which passes all understanding. Lord our God, you know how much we need you in our daily lives and how often we forget you. When we forget you, do not forget us. Give us strength when we are overstrained, guidance when we are perplexed, courage when we are afraid. Deliver us from undue self-concern, that we may find fulfillment in the service of others. Make us sensitive to others' needs and swift to meet them. Save us from fret and tension and anxiety, that having done the best we can, we leave the rest to your disposing. And in all things, joy or sorrow, success or failure, health or sickness, mold us, we pray, nearer to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare those, O God, who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent according to your promises, declared unto men and women in Christ Jesus our Lord. Grant that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of his name, and through Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We sing our next hymn, 185. Come, children, join and sing.
Thank you.
morning. Are there any children in church? I can see two at least. Are you happy to come out? Well done, you. Well done. You are the stars this morning. How are you today? Good. I have a small story for you people concerning Jesus Christ and somebody who needed help. There was this lame man. He could not walk from birth. And when people heard that Jesus Christ was in the area where this man was, they decided to bring him to Jesus so that he could heal him. But the people were so many, so they decided to lift him and put him through the ceiling down to where Jesus was. And when they did that, Jesus said to the man, "Your sins have been forgiven." And the people wondered, "Who is this who forgives the sins of people?" Then Jesus did another thing. He said, "Pick up your mat and go home. You have been healed." Now, there is something about all of us which Jesus can do. Of course, it's difficult for you to understand the whole issue of miracles or healings. How can Jesus say to somebody, "Be healed," and the one is healed? Because we know that when we are sick, what do we do when we are sick? Where do we go to? When we are sick, where do we go to? We go to the church. Yeah, that's true. We can come to the church for prayers, but when we are sick, where do we go to? Where do we get medication?
Doctors.
We go to the doctors. So the doctors can give us medication for us to take and be healed from any disease we are sick of. But now Jesus was not giving medication to people. He was just praying for them, and they got well. But there was another thing Jesus was doing to people. When people were not happy, he told them things that made them happy. He gave them hope. So when we come to church, one of the things we benefit from being children of God is that Jesus Christ can make us happy. His blessings can make us happy. And how does that happen? That happens when we spend time with him. Can you tell me how we spend time with Jesus? What do you do if you want to talk to Jesus? Pray through prayer. Wonderful answers this morning. Let us clap for these two children. Let us clap for them. When we want to talk to Jesus, we pray to him. So when we are not happy sometimes, we can find space even in our little room and talk to Jesus, because he hears us and he answers us. And often there are times when we will get into trouble, maybe for doing something that is not so nice, and then dad or mom shouts at us. I know that you don't like to be shouted at. Every time I'm reminded in the house, "Don't shout at me, don't shout at us." And sometimes when you are anxious because they have shouted at you, what can you do? You can pray, okay? You can talk to Jesus. You can pray to Jesus and find peace. So this is what Jesus Christ offers to us. He does not offer only healing when we are unwell, but he also brings peace to our lives when we are able to talk to him. So let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our lives and we thank you for Jesus Christ. We are grateful that he left his place in heaven and came down to earth to give us life and life in its fullness. We pray, O God, for our children as they continue to learn from your word. Help them, O Father, with the spirit of understanding, that they may continue to draw near to you as you draw near to them. And let your name be glorified even in their lives, now and forevermore. Amen. Our next hymn, "Light of the World, Here I Am to Worship."
Testament reading this morning can be found in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Jesus heals a paralytic. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The Old Testament reading can be found in Micah, Prophet Micah, chapter 7, verses 18 to 20. "Who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will be true to Jacob and show mercy to Abraham, as you pledged on oath to your fathers in days long ago." Amen. And we are blessed by these readings of his holy word. Now let's sing together the hymn 159, "Lord, for the Years."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Guide us, O Lord, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Who is a God like you? Who is a God like you? That question is profound, and it puts the true God we worship against all the false gods of this world that are fighting for our attention. We have the false gods of entertainment, pleasure, fame, money, power, selfishness, and instant gratification. Of course, I love all those things I have just named because, like any other human being, I like to enjoy my life, and they all fit within the scope of enjoyable commodities. But the problem is that when these things become the center of concern in our lives, and when we become feverishly preoccupied with the temporary things of this world, they become our God and can make us forget the one true God that we need to worship and to honor. I recently read a story about a billionaire art collector that saw a picture of a painting that he deemed absolutely necessary to add to his collection. He summoned his servants and told them to locate the work of art and purchase it, regardless of the price the owner of the masterpiece demanded. After months of investigations, his servants returned with the news. "We have located the painting you are looking for." The billionaire replied, "Great, where is it?" To which they said, "Sir, we found it in your collection." It's like looking for what you already have because your greed has overtaken your sense of need and now you simply want. There is a relationship between idolatry and addiction. In his excellent book on the subject of power, Playing God, Andy Crouch describes the connection between idolatry and addiction. This is what he writes. In modern secular societies, perhaps the clearest example of idolatry is the pattern we call addiction. Addictions begin with essentially good created stuff. Even the chemicals that become addictive drugs are part of God's good creation and often have beneficial uses in the right contexts. But in the throes of addiction, we invest that created stuff with transcendent expectations. It begins to hold out the promise of becoming like a god. The most powerfully addictive substances, like crystal meth, are the ones that can deliver the most dramatic sensations of godlike freedom, confidence, and abundance. In other words, power. A behavior like gambling promises to give us a sense of mastery over the random forces of nature and the ability to bring something out of nothing, to create wealth without having to work. Pornography promises intimacy without risk. Commitment and limitations are often awkward and vulnerable bodies. Wonderful ideas. And they capture the sense of human folly and self-deceit. What is sometimes even more troubling is the fact that some Christian evangelical churches and movements concentrate on theological interpretations that promote a material culture That is, this worldly and heartly preach about sin and salvation. No wonder Max Anders commented that the worship of false gods is always an outgrowth of spiritual deception. Dear Christian friends, when human beings attribute to other gods the gifts, powers, or functions that belong to the one living God, then God is deprived of the honor that is due his name alone. The whole creation exists for the glory of the Creator. And in rendering praise to God alone, humanity experiences its own true blessing and good. This is the meaning of the jealousy of Yahweh in the Old Testament. It is God's proper protection of God's own identity and transcendent uniqueness. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols, says the Lord in Isaiah 42, verse 8. And so the psalmist, having denounced all the gods of the nations as nothing, in Psalm 96, verse 5, issues the universal summons: ascribe to the Lord, all you families of the nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The place of every human being is on his or her knees in worship of the true, one true Almighty God, because we were created to worship, and any human being who fails to worship ceases to exist. Now, in the context of our passage, the prophet Micah was speaking to a people who had invented their own gods. And he wanted to make a distinction between those false gods and Almighty God. Let me illustrate the fact with at least one of the most evil and dangerous Greek gods and goddesses in times past. Apate was the daughter of Erebos, the god of darkness, and Nyx, the goddess of night. She had a number of siblings, including Moros, who represented doom, Nemesis representing retribution, and Icarus representing violent death. She was the goddess of deceit, deception, guile, and fraud, not someone to bump into in the street. She was cunning and deceitful and could twist any situation to work in her interest. She could also be very cruel and would take great pleasure in destroying people's lives. Look at the characteristics of these gods and goddesses: cruel, deceitful, guile, fraudulent, unforgiving, and so on. It is to gods like that the prophet Micah compares Almighty God and says, who is a God like our God that pardons iniquity or sin? This is unheard of in the gods of the pagans, because they for the most part are vengeful, utterly destroying those who do not serve their interests. And even the pagan gods of love are selfish and sensual. You see, brothers and sisters, there are a lot of things that pass for love in our world today, but they are not true love. There is a weak, syrupy or sweetness kind of gushing or exaggeratedly enthusiastic kind of feeling that passes itself off as love. There is the sex act. Let's make love. This can be a high expression in marriage, but for the most part today has no relationship with true love, but is impure lust, selfish, and merely sensual. However, love is one of the chief characteristics of our God. And the Bible teaches that God is love. And the love that God has for us is a giving love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is this high love of God that will not let him see us destroyed. And that is why he does not remain angry with us forever, but delight to show mercy. In Ezekiel 33:11, he asked the prophet to say to the people, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from their way and live. Turn you from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And Micah prays, you will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. That is the kind of God that you and I are called to worship. He will subdue our iniquities. On our own, we cannot conquer our own lusts. We are not able to free ourselves from the power that sin holds over our lives. And the scripture speaks of the bondage of corruption. But what we cannot do for ourselves, God will do for us and has done for many people. There are countless testimonies of people who were bound by habits that were destroying their lives. Testimonies of people who found the power of God to subdue their iniquities. There are alcoholics who have now been set free from that destructive addiction. People whose favorite pastime was pornography, they have been pardoned and their lives restored as God has broken the chains that once bound them. Who is a God that can set a man or woman free whose life has become imprisoned by his or her passions? Only God can do it through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And one of the reasons we believe that Jesus can do this is because of the testimonies from Scripture and the fact that no other religious leader in the history of the world ever made the claims that Jesus made in his lifetime and ministry. You remember from our first lesson, when they brought the paralyzed man to him, he said, Son, your sins are forgiven. When the teachers of the law charged him with blasphemy, saying, Who can forgive sins but God alone? He knew what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say, Get up, take your mat, and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. And the people were amazed, and they said they had never seen anything like that. Down through the ages, there have been many miracles of healing, and there are still today, but no religious leader, in addition to healing physical ailments, ever said to anyone, Your sins are forgiven. Only my Lord had the authority to do so, and he does so still, as he seeks from eternity to liberate us from the enslavements of this world. So as I finish this morning, let me ask you, how did you come to church this morning? Are you feeling a sense of idolatry that you have made something about your being a god? Or that there is some addiction from which you need to be liberated? Is it in the area of entertainment? Is it pleasure, fame, money, power, selfishness, and instant gratification? What is it? By His Spirit, Jesus can conquer those things that have been conquering your life. There is only one thing that is stronger than the hold that Satan has on your life, and that is the power of God. People struggle for years trying to free themselves from the habits that are destroying their lives. They buy into a multitude of programs that promise help. Only Jesus can set you truly free. He will cast all your sins in the depths of the sea. And friend, we urgently need dedicated and faithful people to help liberate the world from the passions and deceitful gods that hold us captive. And what Martin Luther King Jr. spoke in the context of the United States decades ago is still contemporary. Luther wrote, "This hour in history needs a dedicated circle of transformed nonconformists. Our planet theaters on the brink of annihilation. Dangerous passions of pride, hatred, and selfishness are enthroned in our lives, and men do reverence before false gods of nationalism and materialism. The saving of our world from pending doom will come, not through the complacent adjustment of the conforming majority, but through the creative maladjustment of a non-conforming minority. You are called to be that non-conforming minority, to present a countercultural perspective to the materialistic and sensual gods of this passing world. Because the church works best not as a power center, rather as a countercultural community in the world, but not of it, that shows others how to live the most fulfilled and meaningful life on earth. In modern society, that means rejecting the false gods of independence, success, and pleasure, and replacing them with love for God and neighbor. Who is a God like you? And who can forgive sins except you?" To which we reply, "But who can?" Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you with penitent hearts, confessing our sins. We pray for times, O Father, when we have been overcome by passions that do not make us better people in your presence. And all around us, O Father, and within us, are things that can make us addicted to them because they have become our little gods. Help us to humble ourselves and to worship you and you alone as our one true God. This is how we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our next theme, Standing on the Promises of Christ, My King. Let us pray. Blessing and honor, power and adoration be unto you, O God, our Father, for all the good gifts of creation which you have granted to us freely and out of the abundance of your grace. Father, we pray as we bring our monetary gifts to you that you bless them for use in building your kingdom here on earth. Merciful Father, you have surrounded us with the good gifts of your love. We remember them now and we thank you, the giver. You have given us the gift of life itself. For the years that are past, we thank you. For the years that are to come, we trust you. And for all the joys and opportunities of this present time, we bless you. You have given us the gift of love for our families and our friends and for all the human relationships that enrich our lives, we praise you. You have given us the gift of power to control and use the physical world about us. The good fruits of science and technology are your gifts for our enjoyment. You have given each one of us some special gift, some special cause for thankfulness which lifts our heart in gratitude to you when we remember it. And this day, O Father, we remember before you William Berry and Jeff Martin, who have served as elders for 50 years. And on this 50th anniversary of their eldership, we bring them before you in thanksgiving that you continue to bless their lives and to strengthen them, and that as they continue to bring their gifts to the church, you too will bless them. Grant them good health and the peace which only you can give. Father, you have given us Christ, and through him you have offered us life indeed, and love and power for this world and for the world to come. For this, your greatest gift, we thank you from the fullness of our hearts. Father, hear us, we pray, for our fellow people, and help us to know our kinship with them as brothers in your family. Break down the prejudice, the selfishness, and fear that separate men and women from one another. Help the nations of the world to find a way to live together in peace with honor. Forgive the arrogance of the strong and the resentment of the weak. Bless the work of all those who are bringing aid to needy countries throughout the world. And show us how we must bridge the gap between wealth and poverty, plenty and hunger. We pray for all those who find the pace and strain of life too much for them, for those who fear redundancy, for those who have lost confidence in themselves, for those who are slowing down through illness or increasing years, for those who are oversensitive to criticism, for those who are overworked and underpaid, for all who are worn down in body or in mind by the burdens which they carry. Give your help and guidance, Lord God, to all whose work affects the lives of others. Give wisdom and integrity to our leaders, to those who serve in parliament, especially to those who bear the burden of decision in government, to our industrialists and men and women of business, to our trade union leaders, to all who control the mass media of communication. May those who have power over their fellow people use it with sense and restraint for the good of all and for your glory. Bless and strengthen the bonds of family life within our land. Teach us how to understand one another better, parents and children, husbands and wives, and through deeper understanding, deepen our love. May peace and joy dwell in our hearts and in our homes. Father, we bring to you now the special needs of people known to us as neighbors and as friends. We pray for those who are sick, those who are bereaved, those who are lonely, those who are afraid, those who are ashamed, and those who are bitter. You know their needs better than we do. Give them not what we ask, but what your love directs. Eternal God, we trust you not for this world alone, but for the world to come. We remember our own loved ones who have passed through death to a new life. For their memory, we give thanks and for our fellowship with them now in your presence. Bring us at the last where they are, to those things which our lips cannot utter, but which our hearts long for in the glory of your kingdom. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. If you are able, please rise, and together let's affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Let us bring our service to its close as we sing that beautiful hymn again. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. In peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.